Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, we'll begin in verse 16 tonight. If you'll please stand for the reading of God's Word. And we'll just read. I'll read tonight, and we'll incorporate y'all a few times throughout the different messages and such. But we're going to start in verse 16 and here in Luke 14. And it says, "Then said he unto them, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come. For all things are now ready, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." Do not insert wife jokes, okay? So that the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." And the Lord said unto the servant, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled." We're going to leave off there and simply tonight, I just want to expound for just a moment time on this thought, compel them. Compel them. The Lord was wanting to fill his house. He had certain guests that he wanted to invite, some people that he had in mind. But they said, we're busy. We have better things to do. And so he said, go get all the poor and the ones who are halt and maimed and blind and bring them in. And the servant said, okay, we did that and there's still room left. He said, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. And I hope to be an encouragement to you. You know, God wants his house filled. And not just this place here in Lighthouse Baptist Church in Wiley, this physical building and this local New Testament church here. But he wants his house in heaven filled. He wants it filled with people that are saved, born again, going to be there with him. That's what he wants. He wants us there. And he wants his house to be filled. And he says, go compel them to come in. The word compel means to drive or urge with irresistible force. Now, this force can be physical force or it can be mental force. You know, some people are not physical giants. I wouldn't consider myself a physical giant. All right. I'm strong enough, if you will, but I'm not the strongest guy out there. All right. My strength is more that string bean kind of strength. Okay, you know, the stringy guys, you got to watch out for us. All right, I might not be able to haul off and knock your head off, but I might knock you around a few times and chase you around in circles until you get tired. Okay, that's the kind of guy I am, if you will. But, but some people have the ability to use physical force to accomplish something. All right, but some people use mental force. Okay, to accomplish a little bit more mental capacity. Okay, they kind of get you and on that mental front, but doesn't either way. There's an action here that is irresistible, right? Irresistible, and this is the force we are to use to compel people to come into the Father's house. This master told his servant to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. In other words, this is what he said, if we want to translate here. Are we into translating a little bit? He said, grab the roll of duct tape, go out there, wrap them up, throw them in the back of the trunk, and drive them back to the house. Okay, that's what he said. Okay, you just got to read between the lines there again, okay? Right? Bring them in. He said, I don't care how you get them here, get them here. Now, I'm not encouraging y'all to do that necessarily, okay? But let me say this. To what level is your effort to compel people to come in? And to come in and fill God's house. You see, we need to drive or urge with irresistible force, whether physical or mental. Okay, now, more than likely, in our work, what we're trying to accomplish, physical force is not going to do a job. Okay? So it's going to be, how about mental, or maybe we can insert spiritual force. Okay, the Holy Spirit of God is a strong force, is he not? Yes, and isn't he the one that convicts the lost of their sin and points them to Jesus Christ? And don't we share in that work? We absolutely do. So that's the force we're going to talk about tonight. That's the force, that's what we want to use to get them to come to Jesus. Go to John chapter 4, if you would. Just over one book of the Bible. John chapter 4, you'll be familiar with this story. In John chapter 4... Now, I'm not, I have so many different things that I think about. And one of the things about preparing messages is that I got to pare it down to just saying one thing and not 100 million things that I'm thinking of. Okay? That's really the hardest part of it. There's always enough to say, it's just not enough time to say it all, right? Now, John 4, let's look at verse 28. It says here in John chapter 4, in verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way. Okay, this is the woman at the well, right? Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. Went her way into the city and saith to the men, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. So we know the story, and I could go on a tangent here, but I'm going to stay true to the focus. Is the first thing I want to point out is we need to compel them to come to see Jesus. To come to see Jesus. Remember what Andrew told his brother? Hey, we found the Messiah. We found the Christ. You need to come see him. You know, this woman, she was there. She had this conversation with Jesus, and he began to witness to her, and he told her about her sin and how she had not been following the right way and the right path, that she needed to trust in him and drink this living water that she would never thirst again. And he even told her in verse 26, I that speak unto thee am he. He said, I'm the one. I'm the one you've been looking for. And she was excited, and I believe she got born again. And she went back into the city and she said, hey, you all need to come. Didn't she compel them? Didn't she drive them with an irresistible force to come and see this man that, in her words, she said, that told me all things that I had done? Which wasn't necessarily exactly the case, was it? But that's how she felt. And listen, we talked about our personal testimony last week. You ought to share that thing with people. You got to show them and compel them to come see Jesus for themselves. Just like this dear lady told these people to come. I've skipped down to verse 39. Chapter 4, verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. It was because of her. It says it right there. The Samaritans believed in that city because of this lady. Because she went to the well to get some water. She met up with Jesus. She got saved and she went back into the city and compelled them to come out to see Jesus. Hey, one day you were at the well. And Jesus revealed himself to you. And you got saved. You go back into the city and tell them, come on. Come on, you need to come see this guy. He told me all that I ever did. He saved my soul. I'm born again and going to heaven because of Jesus. We need to urge them with an irresistible force to come to Jesus. Hey, listen, we have opportunities all day, every day. And many times we pass them up.
because we're too busy or too tired, or really maybe just because we're not even thinking about it. But you know what? This idea was on her mind, fresh on her mind. She left the water pot. She was supposed to fill it up and take it home. She left the pot, went to town, because that was more important. When was the last time you left something behind because telling somebody about Jesus was more important? Oh, yeah. Hey, that's compelling. That's something that we need to do to urge or drive them with irresistible force. Go over to Luke chapter 19. Back to Luke chapter 19. I like to hear the pages of Bibles flip around. You know this story as well. Look at verse 1. Luke 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see.
Right? Y'all know the song. Sunday school song. You know, yeah, rabbit trail. I like to chase rabbits, you know that. Ever wonder why as adults we don't sing those songs anymore? We teach them to our kids. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves little children. You know, I'm in the Lord's army and all that stuff. And most of you know me as far as going to camp and I'm just a big kid. And that's all true. But so wonderful little songs. Wonderful truths. And I guess we get too grown up for some things, don't we? Well, let's go back to that, huh? Anyways, you know the song. And it says here that he was chief among the publicans and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. You know, you ever wonder, the place. That was an appointed position. The place. He looked up. There was old Zacchaeus. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, if you have time, would you think about perhaps considering letting me come over to your house and tell you that I am the Savior? If you have a moment. Now, does that sound compelling to you? Is that an irresistible force? Oh, no. And that's not what it says either, is it? Saw Zacchaeus and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must abide at the house. Compelling. Irresistible. The Son of God is telling you what to do. Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down. I'm coming to your house right now. That's compelling. An irresistible force. You say, well, I'm not Jesus. Well, neither am I. But we have him in us. We have the power of the Holy Ghost. We have the ability to compel people to come to the Lord. Well, guess what? Zacchaeus got saved. Gave back. You know how he got saved? Because of tax collector, give back money. That's salvation right there. Okay, bad tax joke. Okay, now, but listen, did he not? He did. Compel them to come see Jesus. All right, go over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I hope I'm being an encouragement to you to understand that we as believers need to compel them to come in and fill the Master's house. Compel them to come to Jesus. Compel them to be saved today, not tomorrow. Matthew 5, look at verse 41. Matthew 5, 41. Jesus speaking here, and he's talking about some things. Look at verse 38. If ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat,
Let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. You know, the next compelling thing that I think we ought to think about is not only to compel them to come to Jesus, but to compel them to serve the Lord with their life. You know, there's a lot of people that get saved and don't do anything about it. They get saved and they just sit. They get saved and they continue to live their life. Or they get saved and they continue to go to the old dead religion that they used to go to. You know, over in Arlington, you know, there are times where, if you want to call it pre-COVID, all right, where we got to see 700, 800, 900 people saved in a year. That's great. But if you see that happen over 15 years that I was there, you do the math, there should be 15,000 people at Trinity Baptist Church in Arlington, should not? But there's not. Why not? Well, some fall by the wayside. Some never get plugged in church. Some never are compelled to serve Jesus Christ, to be irresistibly forced to do so. Is there an irresistible force pressing upon your life to serve God? There's for me. There's for me. I wouldn't rather do anything else. Dr. Bob Smith always said, if I had 1,000 lifetimes to live, I'd want to be his preacher in every single one of them. That's how Dr. Smith feels. That's how I feel. I was talking with Dr. Fisk today at a college luncheon. And he said, he was telling me about how proud he was of me. He and I get along. We're both old school members. He was saying, he said, you know, you'd have to step down to be president. I said, I wouldn't want that mess. No way. And I said, you're right. No, I'm excited to be a preacher of the gospel. But you ought to be excited to be a Christian, a servant of the King. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. See, we're doing a lot of flipping, Brother Combs. Yes, we are. I decided to preach the whole word tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verse 20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he's called therein abide with God. Okay, this is a little bit of an interesting passage of scripture here. But what Paul is trying to say is, we're a servant, but we're free, but we're a servant. See, we're free in Christ, aren't we not? We have liberty. We are born, we're set free from the bondage of sin, but we're actually set free to be a servant. But we're free. See the contradiction there, the paradox, if you will. Okay? So, but in other words, we don't have to, we get to. We get to. We are compelled to serve Christ. We don't serve Christ to be saved. We serve Christ because we are saved. I love the story of how in the old days, if a slave or a servant was set free, I mean, that's great. I think that's the way it should be. But they were set free, but if they chose to, they could stay with their master by choice. And many did that had good masters. And all they would do is they'd take an awl, piece of metal, and they'd drive it through the ear, signifying that that slave chose, was free, and free to choose to stay with his master. It was a choice. He, in other words, he wanted to serve that man.
He wanted to, and shouldn't we likewise? Listen to what it says here in Ephesians. We use this all the time in chapter 6 for our children, yes? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And all the kids said, oh no. No, yes. Oh, but over and over again, as I recall, we're called children. And our Father is God. We're supposed to obey, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He continues, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. We're supposed to compel people to serve the Lord. When's the last time you were talking with a fellow brother or sister in Christ and you urged them irresistibly to serve? Hey, why don't you come join us? Hey, we got an old church bus back here that I'm gonna put back on the road. We're gonna get out in the streets and go out door knocking again. We're going to. We're gonna need some people to help us. We need some hands and feet to go out there. I know there's people out there that this church has reached. I know there's people out there that maybe because of fears or anxiety or different things or just maybe getting out of the habit, they're staying home or they're really concerned, and that's fine. I'm not criticizing anyone, but we got to get out there again. We need to get serving our God. This is Lighthouse Baptist Church. Let's turn up the volume on the light. Let's go. I know lights don't have volume, but they have brightness. The lumens. Let's turn up the lumens on the light. Okay, let's get it going. It just kind of came out that way. All right, we'll get it fixed. Okay, now, we've got to compel them to serve. Let me ask you a question. How would you like for someone who isn't serving to tell you to serve? Is that compelling? Shake your little heads, no. No, not compelling, right? I mean, as I'm sitting here drinking a cup of coffee, right? And I said, all right, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to get a fresh cup of coffee here. I want all of you to go out and to knock about 300 doors and I'll see you back here in about 45 minutes. Don't be late. What do you think? Anybody moving? Yeah, I hope not. Okay? But how about if I said, okay, all right, let's go, and I go with you. Now how are you doing? Better. Right? Because that's what we ought to do. We can't compel them if we're not doing it ourselves. Now can we? All right, last one. Go to Mark 15. Mark 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right, Mark 15. Look at verse 21. All right, 15:21. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. See, Brother Combs, what in the world does this have to do with compelling? Well, you know, we need to compel people to come to Jesus. We need to compel people to serve the Lord. We need to compel people to sacrifice. Sacrifice. You know, Simon was just there minding his own business, passing by, coming out of the country, and he was just there. These Roman soldiers grabbed him and said, carry that thing for that man, because he can't carry it. You know, doesn't Jesus say something about that? That we should take up our cross? In Luke 9:23, it says, "And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." You know, in a life of service for the Lord, we're going to come to some points where it's going to be a choice. Where I have to choose me or God. My family or God. My job or God. Easy living or God. I mean, you name it. I'm a born and raised North Dakota farm boy. I'm a long way from home. I like it here, don't worry. I do miss the cold. Y'all don't know what cold is. Okay? Cold is when you take a deep breath and your boogers freeze. That's cold. Okay? All right? That's cold. Okay? Now, listen. But no. He says, there's going to come a time of sacrifice. We're going to have to choose. You know, Jesus started giving out some tough words. And it says a lot of people quit following him. Because it was too hard. Too hard. Hey, anybody can see anywhere in this book where it says the Christian life is a cakewalk? Where it's going to be easy? No, on the contrary, I've read quite a bit of this. Actually, I've read all of it. But listen, I'm telling you, it's not easy. And it's not going to get any easier as we see the day approaching. Actually, it's going to get worse. Are you ready for them to come after you? Come after your kids? Come after your livelihood? Because you're a Christian? It may happen. It happens in other countries, other places. Just read these missionary letters. Get a pulse on what's going on around the world. They hate us. Because they hate our God. It's going to be some sacrifice. And we need to be urged with an irresistible force to sacrifice. Is sacrificing easy? Not easy. Is it difficult? Yes. But is it necessary? Absolutely. Absolutely. Philippians 2:16 through 18 says, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Paul was there. You know his resume. He went through a lot, didn't he? He sacrificed a lot, didn't he? Yes, he did. But so did the churches. Again, he says to the Philippians in chapter 4, he says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again to my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." He knew that the Philippians didn't have much, but they sent to the missionary anyways. You say, "Hey, Brother Collins, we're a little church." Hey, little church, look back there. The sacrifice that you make allows those missionaries to do what they do all around the world. It's worth it. Well worth it. And don't forget, God's not going to be outgiven. Nah. Give and it shall be given unto you, right? Good measure. Press down. You know, we need to be compelled, an irresistible force. So just think about this. You're going to work tomorrow. I'm going to work tomorrow. We're all going to work tomorrow. In some way, shape, or form. Okay? Do you know what? There's some compelling that we have to do. You're going to meet up with somebody tomorrow. You're going to cross paths with one person, two people, five people, 10 people, I don't know. Some are going to be needed to be compelled to come to Jesus. Some, maybe brethren, maybe co-laborers in the faith, and they need to be compelled to serve. And maybe some need to be compelled to sacrifice. Whatever the case may be, compel them. Compel them. Remember what it said. Good old Webster's Dictionary. To drive or urge with irresistible force. Compel them.